It's a chirp fest. As someone who can beak with the best of them, we welcome in one of the all-time greats when it comes to verbal jabs. It's Pat Maroon on The Chirp with Darren Millard.
Boys, I'm Mike today. Just let everyone know, don't say anything stupid.
That's a disgrace! That's a disgrace! What a joke!
Oh, how'd that feel, old man?
You guys are sensitive over there.
I kind of feel like this is the perfect guest for the Chirp podcast with Darren Millard. We chat with Patty Maroon, who comes in. Subscribe and like, and make sure that you're part of this process as we move along. As Patty joins us from Tampa Bay, getting set for the Stadium Series game. As a chirper, where's your game at? Do you go through phases where you're on a roll, or and other times when you're like struggling? That was a bad jab.
As I get older, I feel like the chirps get more and more more confident, because when you're younger, certainly if someone chirps you, you kind of look who chirped you and you just don't want to say the wrong thing. And if it's a good player, like, oh, what am I going to say to this guy anyways? But as I got older and I won a few cups, I get a little more chirpier.
So do you feel like you can chirp anybody in the league now that you've won three?
Yes. I feel more confident I can do that. It's one of those things, though, you got to look who does chirp you and like what they are saying. If it's funny, or they're trying to be funny, or they're just trying to get underneath your skin, you try to think of something clever where they can laugh on the other end too.
Were you ever told that you couldn't chirp somebody?
I was never told. Nope. Unless someone told me on the bench and I didn't hear them, I just kept going anyways.
Was there a point where you were chirping somebody and thought, I'm giving, I don't know, Sidney Crosby a jab here? Really, this is happening?
I'm trying to think. No, I've never chirped anyone where I've sat back down. I'm like, God, I should have never said that. Because usually, like a Brad Marchand is a heck of a player. He's an elite player in this league. He likes to chirp. Me and him go back and forth. Again, I'm chirping elite goal scorer, and I'm chirping this guy. But it's hilarious because we both laugh at each other. So other than that, there's no like elite player where I'm like, oh, I should have never done that. But he's the one that I go back and forth with a lot when we play Boston.
I heard a story where Sean Avery used to practice his chirps into a mirror and go over things. Do you ever do any type of preparation like that?
I look who we're playing. There's like a spreadsheet before the game of the team we're playing, how many points guys have, how they're doing. I do look at that before the game and like their career stats, or if someone's going to chirp me about my points, I have something on them. So I do my homework before we play. That's for sure.
What's the latest back and forth that you've had in the last couple of weeks? Anything good?
No, it's been slow.
Really?
I think, yeah. We played Colorado, Arizona, nothing really was chirpy. New Jersey, there's a little bit of going back and forth. I don't know the guy's name, tough guy in New Jersey, young kid. But nothing too exciting where it's like you can laugh about. It was more just like chirping. Brad Marchand and me had a good one a couple weeks ago.
Did you see what Tristan Jarry said to Brad? And were you surprised that set him off?
What'd he say to him? Sorry, I didn't know. So
remember, you know where Brad got suspended for the six games?
Yes.
So apparently Tristan said to him, how about that bleep and save? And that set Brad off. Now you've got to have said worse than that to Brad.
I've said way worse. So I don't know why that would get him mad. Were they losing at the time? I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, that could be a sensitive subject, but I mean, that wouldn't make me mad. I would just tell him good job.
Do you respect a good chirper, or does it get under your skin when they're a good chirper?
No, I respect a good chirper. I've never really lost my cool when someone chirped me. I always laugh. They're always the same chirps towards me. And you kind of just chuckle because you're just like, can't you just come up with a better one? There's so many more about me than that. So I've never really lost my cool.
What's the worst chirp that somebody gives you when you say that they can come up with something better? What's the worst one?
you're fat or you're slow. So, I mean, that's just very, very original. It's common. It's just an easy target. And I'm like, come on, guys, there's got to be better. There's got to be more out there than just that. And unfortunately, they can't come up with another one. So,
do you have a memorable one that you gave back to somebody?
I'm trying to think. Me and Patrick Laine had a good one in the playoffs. He called me fat, and I think I said, I'm chubby, but I'm effective, and I have more points than you. And it went viral because it was on Sportsnet TSN. We were playing in Winnipeg, and I think the sound caught it through the benches. You know how they can have the sound on the benches, so they caught it. That was a good one. And then the one towards in Boston after we scored in game two, I think it was Bortuzzo, and they were chirping me. And I looked back and I said, you guys are f***ing Brad Marchand. And I mean, there's so many I can look back on, but just chirping elite players for me really gets me going, because I'll never be in their shoes. I'll never know what it's like to score 40 or 30 goals. So it's nice that I can get underneath those guys' kind of skin.
If we put your chirp game into like a goal category, are you a 50 goal guy as a chirper? Are you a 80 goal guy as a chirper?
I'm up there. I'd probably be a 650 goal scorer.
That totally sums it up right there. So people go back to the chubby thing. I was told to ask you about the Chub Club.
Oh, I heard Coop.
Yeah. Did he already sell me out?
He already sold you out. So yeah, so we had a Chub Club in juniors. We had a spin class. And I was in it, and he would ride us. So in Texarkana and in St. Louis, we had the Chub Club. It was funny because even the guys that weren't in the Chub Club wanted to come just to come and support. So we had a good crew, a lot of good laughs. The class was fun, and we had a good trainer. So it made things a lot easier for us. It was after practice, and we had this gym in Texarkana, which was awesome. And there was a spin class, and we would spin and work out. So it was fun. I mean, all my roommates came. I had six roommates, so they would all come and support me. So it was good.
Did you dislike Coop, though, during that time?
No, because he was trying to make me a better player. He was trying to help me out in the end goal.
That's a very politically correct answer.
Did I hate him? Sometimes, yes. But that was just him trying to help me, you know? So, you know, I probably mumbled underneath my breath a couple times. I probably motherfucked him a couple times underneath my breath, but never towards him. So, but it was fun. I made the best of it. You know, the best part was those protein shakes at the end. So they made these they're probably unhealthy for me. So that's probably why I kept going back in the Chub Club.
why do people give you the gears about being big?
I don't know. I guess that's the only way they can come at me. You know, I've had a good career of who I am and, you know, what I've done in the league, but it's just an easy target. I'm a bigger guy. I'm a filled out guy. You know, just an easy target, I would say. I don't think they're trying to be mean. I think they're just trying to be funny. But it is what it is. This is who I am. This is what you're going to get, I guess.
You looking forward to going to Nashville for the stadium series?
I am. I'm looking forward to it. Yeah. You know, I've played in two already, so this is going to be really exciting, especially in Nashville. It's one of my favorite cities, and I'm going to be pumped. It's going to be fun to just have family there, play another outdoor game, and just, you know, go around and hang out with family, have a couple of drinks with everyone on a Saturday night after the game. So it's going to be one for the ages, I guess.
Where do you go after the game on Lower Broadway? And do you get the hot chicken?
Where's the hot chicken?
Yeah, you know, the hot chicken's everywhere around there.
I don't know. I haven't had the hot chicken yet.
Oh, yeah. I'm telling you right now, me to you, buddy to buddy, chirp to chirp, it's hot chicken. You got to go.
Hot chicken.
Hattie B's and Princess.
Well, we'll go there when we land before the family skate. I'll take my family.
Do you ever put all three rings on at the same time?
I have once.
What did that look like when you look down?
Magical. I don't know. It was just amazing. It's still surreal that, you know, sometimes I walk in my closet, go through my safe, and there's just three rings just sitting there. And it's pretty cool. I got rewarded, and, you know, I'm blessed to be surrounded with good teammates and good teams, good coaching staff, GMs, and, you know, that want to win every year. So it's just, I still don't believe it, but it's, I think when I retire, it's going to hit more at home.
What about the contract extension? How long was that in the works for? And congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah. It didn't take much. We had a discussion, me and my agent, and, you know, he just called Julian, didn't really bother him too much. And then Julian called back, was like, yeah, we'd love to sign Pat. Just got to figure out something. So, you know, we came up with a conclusion, and we, on the way to get it done. So I'm very pumped for that.
If it's you, me on a line, who do you take as our winger? Is it McDavid, who you've played with? Is it Kucherov? Is it Getzlaf? Who is it?
Wow. You're really throwing me underneath the bus here. Darren, are you a fast skater or a slow skater?
Technically, I'm a goalie, but so I'm just going to work the wall, go up and down. So we need some speed.
Okay, so we put McDavid there.
Yeah.
We can't put Getzy. Will slow the game down for us. We can use the corners a little bit below the top of the circles. At least McDavid can get it there faster for us, and then we can be in the other end.
you played on Corey Perry's line. What's Perry's nickname again? I keep forgetting that. It slips
the worm.
In and out. The worm, that's what it is. So if you were on the Worm's line in Anaheim, is he on your line in Tampa?
Yes, he is on my line in Tampa. I tell him all the time, I've re-amped his career. I got him to Tampa.
Is he appreciative?
Yeah, he is, yeah. I tell him, I was like, you're one goal from 400. Just all those passes I gave you in Anaheim, those 250 goals I passed to you. So, no, I give him shit all the time. He's a great guy, so.
What allows you to play with great players? Because you were so good in Anaheim with those two. And then, of course, we know what you did in Edmonton.
I think for me, I think a lot of people misunderstand my knowledge for the game, my hockey sense of the game, understanding, making good plays in tight, under pressure. And I think people just see me as a big, rugged guy. And I'm not that by any means. You know, I've touched around the net. I have good hands. Obviously, my foot speed is not there, but I think my hockey sense and being positional on the defensive side, offensive side, really develops me and makes me, you know, a good player. And that's why it makes me effective to play with such high-end players, is because I can do those things. So, you know, I've been fortunate to extend my career by doing that. You know, obviously foot speed is a huge thing in the NHL now, but, you know, if you had the hockey sense, the knowledge and the position to, you know, right place, right time, and, you know, you're going to extend your career by that. So I've done a good job of extending my career by just being a smart hockey player, using my hands, my knowledge of the game. And, you know, that's why I have success playing with elite players. And, you know, I'm good below the top of the circles.
Do you think roller hockey had a help in that, or is it just a coincidence?
No, it has. It had a tremendous help. I'm a firm believer in that. You know, my best friend's dad owned All-American Sports Mall, and, you know, I used to go up in the summertime from, you know, I'd get dropped off. My parents would give me $3 to use for the vending machine, you know, and I'd get picked up. You know, I'd get dropped off at 10, get picked up, you know, 4 or 5 before the men's league started every week. So that's all I did. I just played roller hockey. And I just love the game. I think it's good for NHL players. It's good for your hands. It's good for your hockey sense. And it's all about one-on-one. And I think it just really helped.
Do you think the NHL should bring back the roller hockey pants, like the Cooperalls, just once?
Just they should do it for the outdoor game. I think that would be we should try it out for the outdoor game for sure. I think that would look cool. Absolutely. I think we got to be different. I think we're so vanilla in the NHL. You know, we're like robots. We say, oh, we're going to dump the puck in. We did this. We did that. And I think we need to start creating out of our own box. And I think people would pay attention more.
Hey, is there a rule or something that you would put in place if you were the commissioner?
A rule.
Or to try and spice it up? Anything that you would change about our league?
Yeah, I mean, I think being more outspoken in media, I think bringing back rivalries, I think, you know, back in the day, you know, how guys in playoffs used to chirp each other during regular season. I think it just seems like guys are so scared now to say anything because it's so censored. I think more social media battles. I think just posting stuff, being yourself, being very outspoken. But I think we need to start being ourselves. And I think the younger generation is starting to do a better job. I think now, with kind of some teams are loosening up with some suits. I know that's like a team rule. It's not really an NHL rule, but I just think showing the other side of you, because I think fans don't see us. You know, fans get to see basketball players and their character, their app, and, you know, who they are because how they dress or, you know, what they say on social media or, you know, what they say in the media, you know, football players. You know, I think for us, we need to be more like that too. More controversy, I'd say. I think it would help grow the game.
Well, like the Kucherov Stanley Cup stuff was awesome, right?
Like that grows the game. Yeah. The media and just giving it back to the media. And I know Leon Draisaitl the other day talking to Mark Spector. I mean, sometimes you need to give it to them, you know. And I think that grows the game because people are going to start paying attention, right?
Yeah.
So. I think that's really good. And, you know,
well, Jim Matheson gave it right back to Leon too.
Oh,
right.
So, was it Jim Matheson? I thought it was Spector. Okay.
Spector, I think Spector and Connor kind of had a little bit going at it. And then Leon and Maddie, which I thought was great on both sides.
I think it was great too. You need that. And listen, we're athletes. We're going to go through ups and downs. We're going to go through miserable times throughout the year. You're going to go through struggles as a team. You know, it's not easy being an athlete. And everyone looks at us as, oh, you guys make millions, suck it up. Well, we also have lives outside of hockey too. So that could be stressful. But I think for us as athletes, give it back to the media, give it back to the guys that write articles about you. You know, I think it stirs the pot, but it's good on both ends because then you guys are both honest with each other and more people will start paying attention to it because then you're going to say, what's the next soundbite, right? So when you go back on that podium, they're like, oh shit, here we go again. What's going to happen now? So, and I think with other players too, we need more of that, you know? They need to bring back that more old school mentality. It's too soft, I'd say.
Did you ever tell Connor or do you ever tell Stammer, like, hey, give it to him. Give it to him when they ask you that.
No, never. No, I think Stammer does a good job. I think Stammer and Connor do a good job. I mean, they never would have said it if they didn't, you know, think it was a problem, right? So I think Stammer does a good job of, if he has something to say, he'll say it back to you. And I like that about him. So I think Connor and Leon are doing the same now. I think people are fed up with, you know, articles being written up about you, your team. And I'm sure Stammer had to go through it when they lost to Columbus, you know, in the first round being swept. So it's good, though. I like that on both sides of it.
Do you think media is unfair?
Sometimes, yeah, because they can – get our information and they can run it the way they want to write it. And which is unfair. For me personally, I think they should send it to the player, let them read it first. And then if they need to change anything, they can send it out. My honest opinion, I think it's just unfair to us because we're getting backed up in the corner because they can twist a lot of things on us.
Yeah.
And say the media see something on the ice, what happened? Let's get the full effect by the player of what happened before you write a huge article that night and then make that player look so bad. Mm-hmm. So I think it's an advantage on media in that sense.
I was told to ask you to say, I love Car Shield.
I love Car Shield. Is that like a promotion?
Well, Panger said that you, during the commercials, that that you may have had a stumble or two.
Okay. Panger, everyone had a stumble. And unfortunately, I had to come in and stop. And then I had to say, I love Car Shield. Well, it was too fast. It was too slow. And it was just, I did it probably 60 times, I felt like. It was brutal. And then Ryan O'Reilly was chair for me. And they had another set. And Panger texted me after they got done. Like, Panger's like, don't worry, O'Reilly went through the same thing. He's like, we sat there for an extra hour because he couldn't say this one word. So I was like, all right, thank God it wasn't me. But I couldn't say, I love Car Shield. I love Car Shield. Think it's a twist.
Yeah, it gets there where you're trying to do all these different things and then it just stumbles. And then once I'll say this on tape, I'm terrible, awful. I can't do it if you know that there's a backup. And then once it gets in your head, if you stumble on something, you're done.
Yeah. Well, the first time I did the commercials, which was funny, they gave me the script. I was like, oh shit, like I have to remember this one. And then come to, it was the teleprompter. So you get to read the teleprompter. So it was perfect. Okay. Well, we had the teleprompter, the second one, but we had two other people. So you had to remember your line because you're technically looking at them and you're not looking at the, because if you're by yourself and you're walking towards the teleprompter, you look like you're just talking to the camera.
Yeah.
Well, for me, I had to talk to Ryan and Panger. So it was kind of hard. Then we really had to remember all the names. So I'm like, oh shit, this is a lot harder than I thought. So I did my homework before, but the teleprompter was still there, but we did a lot of retakes. That's for sure.
Was it fun though?
It was a blast. We laughed so hard all day. Me, Panger, and O'Reilly.
Your flow was really good. And I know one of them where you're doing the stand up at the end. Like, who did that for you? Because it was tight, man.
We had hair and makeup. We had hair and makeup people there. I mean, it was a full set. So a lot of crew working. We had food on staff. We had everything. So it was coffee. You name it, we got it. So, you know, after every time we'd mess up and someone would be like, oh, your hair's messed up. They'd come fix it. Your makeup's messed up. You need more of this. So we had it dialed in. I feel like I was on a movie set.
Did you use Letty dressing?
I did not. Letty dressing wasn't there. But if you need Letty dressing, go to LettyDressing.com.
what is it? Tell everybody what it is for those that don't know.
Letty dressing. It's a hair product. It's shampoo and conditioner. We're getting some more stuff in. We're doing beard oils. We're making a brush. We're making a blow dryer. We're coming out with some women stuff for hair. We got pomade for men for Letty dressing. So yeah, if you're looking to get some new hair products, I've been nothing but getting good feedbacks from a lot of people. They love the product, and I heard the pomade and the shampoo and conditioner is unbelievable. I enjoy it, so I can't really say I like it. I'm glad other people have enjoyed it and they like it a lot. And we're at that point now where we're getting spots now on podcasts. So if you need a spot, we'd love to sponsor. But yeah, it's been good. If you need anything, go to www.lettydressing.com and go follow our IG page.
Pat, is this your idea or did somebody come to you with this and you went, that sounds awesome?
Yeah, so a kid came to me that goes to the University of Tampa. He's like a TikTok famous guy. He started something called Freezer Tarps. I guess college kid. He used to take off his shirt if it was so hot in frat parties. He used to take the shirt off and put it in the freezer. And he ended up calling them Freezer Tarps. So very funny kid, very knowledgeable kid. He just came to me. He's like, hey, I'm starting this hair product. Would you like to join? Did some research, did some what I need to do, if it's the right move for me. And with me growing my hair out, I was like, you know what, I'll give it a shot. And we will be – it's been 8 months so far, and we're doing really good, actually. And I'm very impressed with our marketing team. And Max has done an amazing job of promoting it on his TikTok and Instagram. So social media is everything right now. And he does a good job of pumping it. So, like I said, we're in the process now and getting a lot of spots. So getting on Spittin' Chiclets here and, you know, a lot of other big podcasts, and hopefully get a commercial out here soon. So it's been a lot of good vibes so lately.
Good for you. Big Rig. Who's the real Big Rig?
As in who?
Jamie you or Alexiak? Jamie Alexiak, yeah.
I'm the original.
Yeah?
Yeah.
How'd it come about?
Andrew Cagliano, Cogs. I was in Anaheim. I used to be called the Big Dog, Fat Pat. I had a lot of nicknames. And then we were sitting there, and Cogs just looked at me. He's like, you look like an 18-wheeler. And he's like, God damn, you're so big. And I was like, thanks, Cogs. He's like, you're the fucking Big Rig. I was like, there you go. So that's kind of how it started. It kind of took off from there. So I've been in the league longer than Jamie, so I'm the original Big Rig. So maybe I'm assuming Cogs named him Big Rig. So, because he played in Dallas.
Right. That's a good point that he played with both. So he might just have the one trick pony with the nicknames.
Probably.
Do you ever chat with Jamie about that? Do you ever chirp him?
No, I don't. We fought a couple times, and I get the odd tweets from the Dallas fans like, oh, he's a real bigger because he beat you up. So I guess we're gonna have to go round three here this year and just say, hey, let's just fight for it.
Do you, before we let you go, do you pay attention to social media, or do you use it as an avenue? Because I would think that as an athlete, you must get, I mean, we all know Twitter can be mean and so forth.
I use it. So I got rid of it when I played in St. Louis for that reason, because I was getting hectic. I was having a bad year. So I deleted it, the whole thing. And then as a quest for the cup, I got it during COVID, the second year of the cup run, because my agency was reaching out because they wanted me to do a lot of stuff. Like, you should probably get a platform. And then I had like 90,000 followers, and I deleted the whole thing. And then I had to restart from the beginning. So now I use it as for Letty dressing, for promotions, to build my brand myself. And people can see who I am, you know, what kind of person I am, kind of character I am, and just be myself. But do I read it? Back then, I used to read it when I played on Twitter, like all the negatives. But now I barely read the comments. And if I do read them, I'm just like, I try to come up with a chirp and chirp someone back. I try to make light of it instead of being a negative, because what do they know? They're just typing behind a computer. So.
Did it help your mental health when you deleted it in St. Louis?
It did.
Yeah.
It did. Because you're not on it. You're not reading comments. You're not getting inboxes on Instagram. Tell them, I can't believe we signed you. You're so worthless. What a waste of a time. And that, obviously, that's when St. Louis was struggling. We were in last place at the time. We just fired our coach. I had zero goals at the time. I didn't score my first goal until January. I think it was just best at that time. I didn't get rid of Twitter, just Instagram, because I felt like Instagram was more of like, you can inbox me. You can, you know, you had full leverage of just doing everything. And I'm like, in comments, and it was just wasn't meant to be. So it helped me mentally, and ended up finishing the year really strong. And, you know, I was happy I did it. It was kind of an eye opener for me.
Do you have that success individually without that decision?
Probably not.
Well,
I feel like I had a lot of support from my wife, my family, but I think if I kept up with it, it would have just made things worse. Because all you do is just sitting there reading it, and you're like, God, when am I going to score again? When am I going to score? I haven't scored yet. Like, and it was very hard on myself.
Do you TikTok?
I do not.
Neither do I.
I do not. I don't do any of that. I just have Twitter and Instagram. That's it.
I heard a squeaky toy and a baby. Did I hear that right?
Yeah. My babysitter is right now burping Goldie right now. So she'll be 4 months this week. So she's getting big.
What's that like? I know it's
awesome.
You've had kids before, but like this is cool.
I love my son. You know, he's my first, but just having a girl is just changes so many things. Girls are the best. I'm definitely a daddy's girl. I'm obsessed with her. And it's only going to get worse, I think.
You're softy. Wife,
I am. My wife calls me the helicopter dad. I'm all over the place. So, so yeah, it's been good, you know. And my son has my softness. And when we were back in St. Louis for this last mini break, it was just great to have, you know, all of them together and have watch my son that's 13 interact with his sister. And it's just been amazing. Daughters are just the best.
Yeah, I agree. I've got two, but we've got an opportunity to kind of watch your son grow up a little bit over the last few years because you've been winning these cups. That's been neat for us.
Yeah, it's been good. So it's with having Anthony been growing up, he's 13 years old now and a lot of hockey, but it's been nice to go on these deep runs to kind of let him know how hard it is to win a cup and to achieve your goals and actually what it takes just to get to the NHL. So I think he's realizing it now and he's playing triple A hockey right now. So it's nice to see his dad and how hard it takes to get to the level I'm at. So it's nice to, you know, watch his dad go through a lot of adversity, a lot of ups and downs throughout his career and just watch me just kind of achieve my goals. So I'm happy he gets to witness all this.
Does he have a phone yet? I need some parenting advice. Mine's 14, wants a phone.
He has a phone and he's had a phone since only because FaceTime. He's in St. Louis. It's easy communication. So he's had a phone for a while. He has no social media. He's not allowed. He just got Snapchat so he can communicate with his AAA buddies. So that's it right now. That's as far as we'll go. But he has a phone for FaceTime and communicating with me. So that's why he has a phone. So if he can lay off for as long as you can, do it.
I'm going to take that to heart. I'm going to say, hey, Pat said, lay off for as long as I can. Look at him up on Instagram and Twitter. And you want to argue with Pat Maroon, you go ahead, honey. But I'm just taking my parenting advice from you. Hey, this has been tons of fun. Great catching up with you, pal. Congratulations on the extension. Looking forward to the outdoor game. And just keep it going because you are so much fun to watch, pal.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on, Darren. I appreciate it. And we have to give Coop a hard time next time.
I can't believe you sold me out.
No, he sold you out right away.
Can you imagine Pat Maroon and Julian Brisebois just chatting away about what to do at the trade deadline? Because now Patty's signed for a couple more years. He's in there. He's got to be up in the general manager's office saying, oh, what are we going to do this year so I can win my fourth Stanley Cup in a row? I haven't checked this, but I really hope. You know how there's the rings on the Stanley Cup? And when they get to the, they move them up and because they fill up the rings and then they move up the ring up and then eventually that ring comes off. I hope in the last 3 years, Patty has moved from one ring to the next ring just so it maxes out how much time his name is on that Stanley Cup. What an awesome dude. And a lot in there with the personality of the National Hockey League. And he's right. I wish at times some of our players would say more, but I understand the flip side of it because we are a very conservative sport. I always say this to Steve Mayer, who is the senior vice president, runs all the events for the National Hockey League. Like being the comedian at the NHL awards ceremony is the toughest job in the world because you got a bunch of hockey people out there who don't like to laugh or show our personalities. But if you could ever make that crowd laugh and kill it there, then you are the funniest person on the planet. And because we're just a very, very hold our cards close to our vest. We'll see what happens with Tampa Bay, whether or not they pull off another big deal at the trade deadline. We're inside a month to the National Hockey League freeze on working the deals. You look around the league, Giordano, what are the Seattle Kraken going to do with him? Keep hearing about this Calgary thing. I don't think it happens. Calgary's on a heater right now. Do you want to bring somebody from outside back in there? I doubt it. Phil Kessel is going to be moved. I can't believe he hasn't been already, to be quite honest, but he's been awesome there. Everything I hear from Phil with the Arizona Coyotes, he's been so good with that team and in that environment, despite being a tough year. Other players, Jeff Petrie, Montreal, could be a game changer for somebody. I would make that move in a second, and you might be able to get good value right now where he is on the season. Tomas Hertl, San Jose, and Marc-Andre Fleury is the big piece. That's the sexy piece, Marc-Andre Fleury. Does he end up in a Minnesota? Does he end up in Washington? I don't know. And on the subject of Minnesota, what do you do if you're the Wild, if you're Billy Guerin or you're Mr. Armstrong in St. Louis, and you're sitting there going, we have really good teams, but we're in a division with Colorado, and we have to, with divisional playoffs, we got to come out of here and get past Colorado. Oh, what does Doug do? What does Billy do? Do they load up or do they just take their chances? That's a tough one. We all know anything can happen in the Stanley Cup playoffs more than any other sport that upsets happen in hockey. I might add there, and especially Minnesota with cap complications coming up in the next couple of years with a recapture from those buyouts. So we'll keep an eye on it. More news to come over the next couple of weeks as we do approach that March 21st National Hockey League trade deadline, and got some really good things coming in March as well. A couple of interviews that we've already lined up, and looking forward to bringing you that. Thanks to Patty Maroon for joining us. Subscribe, like, make sure that you forward on these conversations that we're having via Twitter, Instagram. We'll have some posts up there to bring you some insight into what we've got coming up in the next little bit. But Patty Maroon, check out Letty Dressing. Was it lettydressing.com? Car Shield. We got a lot of plugs in there for Patty, didn't we?
Letty Dressing, right? I know. Yeah. I'm going to go get myself a little bottle of shampoo and maybe he always looks like he's straight out of a sauna, by the way. He's always
he does.
Right? Oh, every time I look at him, he's straight out of a sauna. Unbelievable.
If you watch the YouTube version of that interview, you will also see he changed locations three times. Like he was on the move and didn't skip a beat.
He was roaming. And I think he was trying to avoid the elements, the distractions. We heard some of it in the background with the dog and the baby. So he was doing his best. He is ticketed if he wants to be. Content creation, broadcasting, he'd be great. He's already great.
You know, you bring up a good point there. Content. We used to think players, when they did great interviews, oh, he's going to be a broadcaster. He's going to be in the booth. He's going to be on a panel of some kind. You don't even have to do that. Just do content in this world of Instagram and Twitter and social media, Snapchat. Do all of that. And TikTok. He doesn't do TikTok yet, but I'm sure he will. You do that part, you can make an impact on the world. You don't have to be behind a desk like some of us.
Absolutely. It's different. Look at his teammate, Alex Killorn, during the pandemic was doing the doc talk, right? With Alex Killorn on the jet ski. That's not your traditional broadcasting. So Patrick Maroon is ticketed for something in the creative content world. And if I was Steve Mayer, okay, he's my boss, but if I was Steve Mayer, I would say Steve Mayer, blank check, Pat Maroon, 2 years, he wraps it up, blank check, go create some content with some current players and have some fun with Patty. So that's my advice to Steve Mayer. How about that?
That's the thing, because I don't want Patty interviewing people or talking to people, because I want Patty doing most of the talking.
No, yeah, so he can do. No, it's not your traditional, you know, Q&A. Yeah, just go. Yeah. You give him a blank little slate and say, go run with it, Pat.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there you go.
Can you and I run that? We'll be in charge of that?
Absolutely. Let Steve sign the blank check. He can get the permission from the commissioner, Uncle Gary Bettman. Yeah. And we can run it. Absolutely.
We could do amazing things with blank checks. I can guarantee that. For producer Bob Bender, I'm Darren Millard. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Thanks for participating. And I can't wait for the next stop on the Chirp with Darren Millard.